is WFG Insights, your download on the real estate market, featuring industry experts, thought leadership, and what's trending, keeping you informed and ahead of the market. In this episode, WFG founder and chairman Patrick Stone tackles high interest rates and low inventory, offering a revised forecast for the remainder of the year.
And welcome to the latest edition of WFG Insights. We have WFG founder and chairman Patrick Stone back with us again. Pat, good to see you as we move into these summer selling months, hopefully. What a surprise with that job number we got in June, and that really had a big impact on mortgage rates, didn't it?
Yeah, but I think there's a couple things going on there, Brian. The jobs numbers are really surprising a lot of people, but I think there was a very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal here. They examined the gross domestic income versus gross domestic product. So we've had tremendous job growth and the GDP is still positive, but gross domestic income is going down. Basically what that says is people are working, but they're working in a less productive manner than they were before. So they're not producing as much, probably not working as many hours, but the productivity is down a little bit. Maybe this is also a ramification of the post-pandemic adjustments. We'll see. But it is kind of confusing now. Job strength is extraordinary, but gross domestic income is actually declining. So go figure.
It's very interesting. Are you surprised, though, with the strength of the economy? Again, we've heard about a recession for years now, and it seems to be very resilient.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily resilient. There's a couple factors here. One, the economic data has been positive for quite a long time. The anticipation of a recession based on high inflation, based on shutting down some of the free flow of dollars that occurred post-pandemic. There are a lot of reasons to assume that we may go into a recession, but the obsession with a recession is the biggest issue, right? Yeah. We're not talking about a recession based on economic numbers. We're talking about a recession based on uncertainty and a real lack of understanding of what may happen post-pandemic. We had this situation in the late 19-teens, 1918, 1917, 1918, 1919, we had a pandemic, but we didn't really keep enough data economically to be able to say, okay, this is what happened. So there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of speculation, but no real basis for really saying with certitude what's going to happen. Personally, I think we're heading towards a mild recession. I don't think it'll be very painful at all. And I think that just because a lot of businesses are getting more conservative. People are being told daily there's going to be a recession. So they're reacting to being told daily there's going to be a recession. Underlying fundamental economics are pretty solid. We have more disposable income than we had prior to the pandemic by a large amount. We have a lot of people employed right now. We have a lot of positive things happening, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah, recession obsession is a great way to put it. In terms of, getting us through this, does the Fed have any other levers they can pull? I mean, they're raising rates. We know there's no direct correlation between that and mortgage interest rates, which closely track the 10-year until they kind of disconnected about a year or so ago. Anything else the Fed could or should do in this situation? I mean, it's a tough spot for them.
Well, you know, they not only raise rates, they stop quantitative easing, you know, so that had a fairly significant impact on mortgage rates.
Yeah.
Mortgage rates right now are probably reflecting the need for the Fed to do about $1 trillion more in short-term T-bills over the next 90 days. The government was running up to the final resolution of raising the debt ceiling. The government was being very tight in paying things. So the government needs to catch up right now. They need to issue a lot of short-term T-bills. I do believe that rates have already factored that in, and that's why you see mortgage rates as high as they are right now. I do think if we have no other really disruptive news, I do think mortgage rates will gradually ease over the next 90 days, not significantly, but maybe down under 6.5 by the end of the summer. I do think, again, if we don't have any real major disruptions or extraordinarily bad news, we'll see rates come down to 6% by the end of the year, maybe get down into 5% early next year. That's certainly what we hope to see.
You know, you go back a year, Pat, and we had these dire predictions of you know, a crash landing with the economy. I know you cautioned that that probably wouldn't happen. So the people who listened or watched this episode or these podcasts, they know better. But got to give you credit where credit's due. Is there a chance we may not even go into a recession? I mean, this is looking like we might, you know, kind of even pull out of this without dipping into a recession.
We could still get through this without a recession. We really could. I do think that we have a couple of issues here that may cause us to have the recession. The uncertainty with the Asian economic interface with the U.S. that's being really, the uncertainty is being compounded by how bad is our relationship with China. I mean, you can read media that tells you that it's coming apart. You can read other sources that tell you that they're going to fix it. But really, China is a fairly significant player in the global economy and a fairly significant economic trader with the U.S. So if we have continued problems there or tighten the relationship up with China, that might make it inevitable. We'll see. I was very pleased to see that European inflation dropped meaningfully this month. And I think that's encouraging. So I do think the Fed's going to pause. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're going to pause and not raise rates for a couple months. And we'll see what happens if inflation continues to drop and they don't raise rates. And we don't raise rates any further. We could avoid a recession. We'll see.
Well, there's always that lag. And I mean, that's the tough thing for the Fed is to really gauge, you know, how far things are lagging, because things they did 6 to 12 months ago are now finally taking effect, right? So, I mean, you got to be real careful here in whatever action you take, right?
Yeah, you know, and there's a couple of things that, you know, if you could go back and look at what was happening, obviously we got a lot of talk about supply chain, and I love to tell people the following story. If you go back and look at how much it costs to ship a container from Shanghai to Long Beach, third quarter of 2021, it cost over $20,000 a container. Today, it cost $1,000 a container. Mm. So the supply chain issue is gone. A great deal of inflation is based on rent and owner's equivalent rent. That is mitigated. So we've had some major declines in intensity and things that were causing inflation and inflationary concerns. Now, we're going to see if we continue to decline or if business gets greedy and continues to raise fees, rates, cost on items. So that's the danger right now, that we have a prolonged inflation because business gets overly greedy and tries to capitalize by raising rates and raising profits. Again, we'll see what happens. I am cautiously optimistic that if we do tip into a recession, it'll be very mild.
Talk about the impact, too, of mortgage interest rates just on the psyche of the buyers out there. You know, we'll talk media in a second. There's an overabundance of it, and a lot of it's not accurate. Park that for a moment and talk about rates with, you know, these stories I see where surveys show that, you know, buyers at 7%, maybe not. But if it drops to, you know, below 6 or 5.5, that really perks people up and wants to get them back in the market. Where are you on that? Do you agree with that or...
I totally agree with that. I think 6% is a meaningful level in terms of significantly increasing activity if it gets below 6%. Hmm. You know, you and I have talked about this before. I've been in real estate for 48 years, and about 3/4 of that time, the rate has been at 7% or higher. You know, so we got really spoiled with quantitative easing. It dropped rates down to 3%. You will never, okay, I got to be careful here. I do not believe that you'll ever see rates under 4% again because of the Great Recession. The Fed was extremely aggressive in buying mortgage-backed securities and T-bills, you know, $120 billion a month of the two, right? So they drove rates way, way down to 3%. You just won't see that again, but I do think you'll see it under 6%. And I think under 6% psychologically, people will get aggressive. I bought my first home at 5.6% on a VA loan back in 1976. The overall interest rate then was about 7.8 or 8%. So, you know, it's just difficult right now, given how low rates are, to react positively to a mortgage rate at 6.5 or 6.75. That's just really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. You know, we all keep an eye on the media. I know a lot of us laugh about some of the stuff that gets published. It's an attempt to get eyeballs and clicks and page views, and we all know that. But even when you know that, sometimes you see things and it freaks people out, quite frankly. And so depending on who you follow, you're seeing price corrections in some markets. Now, not to mention any names here, but, you know, we're seeing some markets where we're seeing price corrections, nothing, you know, major. And if you believe that or you follow that, I mean, does that continue, or are we so tight on inventory that until homes are built or there's some, you know, movement in the economy, that we're kind of stuck where we're stuck? Is that kind of the what you're going with? Or
I do not like the term price corrections. I don't think we're seeing price corrections. We are seeing slight price declines in markets where you had fairly aggressive and very heightened price increases because of demand. Demand has abated a little bit. Prices are adjusting. I would say these are price adjustments.
Okay.
You get down, so you're talking 10 or 15% declines. Then we'll use the word correction, okay?
Okay.
So I'm a little bit more of price adjustments. It's really interesting to me, if you look at the national landscape on pricing, pricing is still going up virtually everywhere east of the Rocky Mountains. Colorado is the only state. Colorado and the rest of the western states have all had slight price declines or reductions. And you go back east, it's still going up. And then you have, I've probably been interviewed three times in the last 2 months and been asked this question: how do you feel about people moving to Texas and Florida from the West Coast? Is this political? No, it's not political. It is a simple function of median price. Median prices in the South are $200,000 a home less than the median price in the West. If you're a young couple and, you know, the economy is good in the South, you can get a job and you can buy a home. If you're living in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, or some other place like that, it's very, very difficult to buy a home because the median price is way, way higher.
Yeah.
So we will see some adjustments occur because of that, but I don't think that's going to be a major ongoing trend. I really don't. You know, that's a little bit of a post-pandemic phase that we're probably working our way out of fairly quickly.
Yeah, but those people who moved to Texas find out they're going to get a heck of a property tax bill, and that's quite the topic there right now, isn't it?
Well, and there was an interesting article today. It was about areas or cities that have the highest taxes. And I live in one, and they've gone up dramatically and, you know, to try to fund some community programs. And so people are becoming conscious of that, very conscious of that.
Yeah. And the inventory thing.
Builders are back. Builders are back. Don't look, but the builders are starting to build again.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, even in our neighborhood here, I see, you know, five or six homes going up. And the question with that is, how long until we start to see things loosen up and we get some more inventory?
It's all a function of affordability right now. The need, which is driven by people needing a place to live, be it an apartment or a house, the need is very high. You know, you've got, I think I list real quickly, and I'm going to look down at my notes here so I get it right. You have about 140 million of millennials and Gen Z. And these are people that are want to buy a home. So you've got a tremendous amount of demand in the form of people needing a place to live. We had a big burst in multifamily construction, but we still have a lot of people coming into a household formation. And so consequently, the desire to own a home is there. And if builders build it, they will take it. But it's all dependent on affordability. You've got the need, you've got the desire, but the affordability is the issue. So you get rates under 6%, I think you'll see it take off like a rocket. I think builders will really gear up if the rates come down a little bit.
Yeah. The other topic that's out there, and I know we have some commercial real estate folks who follow us here, is that market and the office market. And what's your read on what's going to happen there, how that's going to play out over the next couple of years? We're hearing some very dire predictions there as well. Is there truth to that? Any, what concerns do you have?
I think there's enough uncertainty and enough bad situations that you can identify to say that I think we all have a lot of anxiety about it. How it manifests itself is going to depend on a lot of things, but you have 84% of $7.8 billion in commercial mortgage-backed securities mature in 2023. Now, let's be real straight up about it. There's a tremendous amount of disposable income out there. A lot of properties will be bought by people, bought at discounts, if you will, but there's a lot of money to jump in and buy things. But the regional and community banks, you know, they typically make commercial mortgage or they make commercial loans on a 5 or 10 year basis. And a lot of them are maturing right now, and the banks are not in a position to extend any sort of credit. They're going to be very conservative.
Yeah.
So I do think you're going to see some issues. Small regional offices, loans held by community or regional banks, they're going to be up for grabs. And we'll see how that plays out. I think offices in major markets, less so. We're hearing a lot about conversion to residential. In one man's opinion, I think that's very difficult in most places. So mm-hmm. I do think you'll see a lot of money swoop in and pick up properties at a discount because of this. How bad it gets, I don't know. I don't think it'll be catastrophic. I don't think it'll impact the economy in a huge manner.
That's good to hear. Okay, so to wrap this up, I want to ask you if you have any overall revisions to your forecast here. I know you're constantly, kind of rebalancing that. I think maybe interest rates, I think you were a little more optimistic things would be back in the fives, in the fall. Yeah. Sounds like you're kind of pushing that out to January. So is that accurate? And any other revisions you're making here?
No, I think the interest rate thing, a couple of things came into play there. I never anticipated that we would have such a prolonged and late issue over the debt ceiling. And, if I'm sitting here and trying to give anybody any useful information, I'll tell you this. Encourage your political party or your representatives to deal with creating a balanced budget. European countries have done it. We can do it too. And basically, you just slow down any additional spending until you close the gap by increased revenue, which will happen as the economy grows. But we've got to do something, or we'll be facing this again at the end of 2025, and we'll have subsequent higher rates. So I didn't anticipate that we'd be so childish or political about raising the debt ceiling. And it really was sort of left me with a bad taste and a little bit of concern long term. So having said all that prolonged higher rates, I do see rates coming down under 6% by the year end, unless we have some other sort of really dysfunctional event that creates more anxiety. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I do think 2024 will be a good year. And I think 2025 could be a phenomenal year.
Good to hear. Okay. What are you most concerned about, say, in the next 6 months here? What keeps you up at night?
The level of uncertainty. The level of uncertainty that's exacerbated by the media trying to get our attention. It is really, really hard. It's really hard for the average American to make an intelligent decision based on facts, because the facts are being wrapped up in everybody's opinion. Obviously, the media is a business and news is a business. They want to get your attention. So yeah. I worry a little bit about too much attention getting by the media. It makes it hard for everybody to act rationally. It makes it hard to plan. So I hope that dissipates a little bit over the next 6 months. We'll see.
And we want to end on a positive note. So what are you most optimistic about here in the next 6 months as we move through the end of the year?
Well, I think we have a strong economy. I mean, even if we have a mild recession, we are in a very good position. Again, I've said this before on our program. We are in a very good position because the amount of disposable income we have, the high level of employment we have, we're really in a very good position globally. So the U.S., if there is a global recession, the U.S. will benefit from it because we'll be able to buy more and control more. I am optimistic about where we are. We are actually in a pretty good position. You never know that by watching TV or reading the paper, but we're actually in a pretty good place.
Well, Pat, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again next month.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ryan. Take care.
To WFG founder and executive chairman Patrick Stone for joining us. And thank you for partnering with WFG.